Yo, welcome back to another episode of Kill the Mockingbirds with your host Sean Chris and Joel Thomas.
Yeah, I'm riding shotgun this time with a shotgun. We're ready to go. Brah, brah. And we have got somebody real special this week, guys. I know you're going to like her. She's got some really cool, interesting stories. She's involved with a lot of interesting stuff. Her name's Cheryl Lynn Carter. She's a psychic medium, remote viewer, and member of Project Psi, who hunts down, if I'm correct now, you could correct me, but you guys look for missing children using your abilities. You're also involved with CTE and MUFON, which a lot of people know who MUFON is. They know what the group is. But we'll get into all that too. But I definitely want you to introduce yourself. Tell us your body of work. I know you've written books too. So just let the listener know a little bit about you.
Well, like you said, I'm a psychic medium. I'm a remote viewer. I'm an author. I'm a freelance journalist for Paranormal Underground magazine. I've written various books. My new one is Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S. And I also co-authored Digging into Skinwalker Ranch and Skinwalker Ranch, The Basin Files.
Yeah, see, I was actually just out in Utah. And
so was I 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I was out there in around June. I can't talk to people on air about it yet because we got a big documentary coming out in October, 1st of November. And we went out there and had a lot of really crazy stuff go down. So it's going to be pretty wild. Our last documentary, Expedition Dogman, went really well. This is our next one. So, yeah, we found a lot of things we were looking for and more. So believe me, I know what goes on out there. I was right where you were at. So for sure. But yeah, I definitely want to get into a little bit of, you know, what you do. I want to talk about Project Psi for sure. Tell us how you got involved with that, what brought you to that, and then, you know, what you've done with them too.
Probably about 6 years ago, my friend Chuck that runs Project Psi asked me if I want to be part of it. He just started this group, and there's actually eight of us. We live in all different states. I've probably only met two of the people. And when we have a missing person case, he just kind of shows us a picture of somebody, this person's missing, and then we call him up and we tell him everything we see, and he puts all of our information together. And that way, he has connections. He can go to the police, because a lot of times police go, medium psychics, yeah, right. They don't want anything to do with it, you know. So he has connections that he can get in. That's a good thing. Because I hate when I have information to tell somebody and they don't want to listen. And that's too late to bring somebody home alive. That's the important thing.
Right.
So he has a reputation, right? Like that kind of like and standing with a lot of different law enforcement agencies that may, they respect him, which, like you said, if they don't know you, they're going to automatically dismiss anything that's not what they're used to.
Yeah, because you only have 24 hours to find a missing child alive. So you got to hurry up.
Yeah, so how do you go about finding these children? You said they bring you pictures, or is this just something that sometimes comes to you, or what? Because you said it's eight of you that do this, so how do you guys operate within those confines?
Well, he usually sees, like, an Amber Alert. We do a lot of Amber Alerts, or he'll see a missing, like, on Facebook, you'll see, oh, missing person. Oh, that looks like a girl, unless, you know, do that. Yeah, and he'll just show us the picture, and I'm able to remote view to see where this person is, who might be around them, what's happening to them. And I have a composite software that the police use, and I can draw faces of people. That helps.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So let me ask you this, with remote viewing, because not everybody knows what remote viewing is. Sean and I are familiar, but if you could just explain to people, you know, what remote viewing is.
That's the ability to look into a place far away, even though you're in your own home. And you can see images, you can hear sounds. I just feel like I'm there. I don't know how I do it. I was born this way. I do it all my life. So people have say, how do you do it? I don't know. It just happens. And when I was a kid, I didn't even know this had a name. I don't think it had a name back then. I don't know. But I've just always done it.
Yeah, very interesting. So what do you remember the first time that you remote viewed as a kid? Do you remember any of those first times or how that happened? It was accidental or was it something that you thought and then it happened or how did that go?
Well, probably I wouldn't say it's a remote view, but I was probably about 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I was walking with my grandma up the hill. There were the factory up there had goats, and we'd go up and we'd feed the goats at night. And we're walking up the street there, and there was somebody had cut a tree down, but instead of cutting the stump way down, it was probably a good 16 inches tall. And I'm walking by, and I said, somebody needs to cut that down because somebody's going to hit their head. Mm. And Grandma just looked at me, you know, whatever. So 2 days later, we hear sirens outside, and that we actually lived on a hill, and there was a tavern on the bottom, and somebody was drunk, got out of their car, come racing up the hill, and this little boy was crossing the street, and you know what happened.
Oh, wow.
Hit him, went flying, and hit the tree stump. You know, that was my first thing, like, how did I know that was going to happen?
Wow. So you even got a almost a visionary, like you're seeing in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. How often does that happen now where you see things that...
Oh, all the time. I got spirits talking to me all the time. I have to say, stop, I'm watching TV, or stop, I'm going to bed. They're talking all the time.
Wow.
If I'm going to a certain location, they start talking to me 3 days before I get there. There's always somebody there that wants to meet me because they know I can talk to them.
Mm. Now, did this get like a lot stronger as you got older?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like at first, was it like more bleak? And then, like you said, like now that more entities are aware, or spirits or whatever we want to call them, like, are aware that you have this ability, so now it's a lot more progressive, like you're getting a lot more than you were when you were younger.
Right, because when you're a kid, you just go, oh, I know some things, or I hear things, or somebody's talking to me, I see stuff. And you didn't really pursue that. And then once I got in high school, I finally met a girl in my class that did the same stuff. I says, you do this too, I'm not crazy, okay. Mm. I was the weird kid in high school. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with me. She talks to dead people, sure.
So this girl did the same thing. So did she kind of take you under her wing and show you some things?
No, we just kind of compared notes. We just kind of compared notes. Okay. I don't think either one of us knew what we were doing. We just compared notes.
It probably made you feel more comfortable knowing that, like you said, you're not right. The only one, and that it kind of validated right. Your ability.
And last Friday, I was actually at an event, and I says, well, tonight's really my class reunion, but I'm here with you guys instead because I didn't want to go back there. Those people didn't want to be my friends before. Why do I want to go back there now, right?
Yeah. Not missing anything.
No. Now they want to be my friend, but oh well.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me like you got a lot of friends talking to you as it is. So. Oh, yeah. For sure. So tell us a couple, if you can, a couple, maybe one or two stories about finding children that were actually found. Because if I'm correct, you found a lot, and I'd like to, you know, get into some of those stories, you know, just to get in a little more detail with that, if that's okay.
Probably our very first case, this was really outstanding. One of the members in the group had a Facebook friend that lived in Romania. Mm-hmm. And her 16-year-old daughter was missing. Can we help? So that was one of our first things we did. Now, I know nothing about Romania. I don't know what it looks like, what I'm looking for. But I looked at her picture, and I saw some buildings, and they had like brick roads and sidewalks there. And I saw her walking between two buildings, and there was an alley. And as she walked past the alley, this man grabbed her. And the next thing I know, she's in some kind of a warehouse or a factory, but it hasn't been used for a long time because I saw dust all over the equipment. And I could hear a train whistle in the background. And so, and somebody else actually saw the outside of the building. So we put our information together. And we actually, you know, sent that information over there. And they knew where this place was. They found the building. And they found her and two other girls in there. So now here was our beginning of human trafficking. We just found three girls.
Oh, wow. So you found multiple that was there looking for the one girl.
That's the thing. When we find one child, sometimes there could be six or seven. You've run into a human trafficking ring that you didn't know about.
Now, when you see these pictures, do you get into like, is it sort of like a meditation state of like, I'm just curious of how like you lock in of like, is it like you shut down and you focus completely on that picture and that person? And is that like kind of like what triggers where you get there to really get the descriptive scene of where they're at and be able to be where they're at?
I don't think I meditate, but I just get in a quiet spot and focus on it. I know some people have to meditate, you know, like to warm up to get there. I don't have to warm up. I just got to be in a quiet place, no other noise around me, and focus on the picture.
So the focus, being focused is the main key for you.
It'll just start coming to me. And one thing you got to do is when you start getting information, don't throw anything out. Every little detail might mean nothing to you, but it could be part of that puzzle. So don't ever throw any pieces out.
Especially because you, like you were saying earlier, you didn't know the area, and then like hearing a train whistle, somebody else may know the area. Go, hey, there's a factory that's abandoned that has a railroad right by it. Now, earlier you were talking about, you know, how some people kind of don't really. I guess they like don't believe, so they don't want to ask for help from remote viewers or whatever. Do you think that, just in your perspective, that if more people were actually open-minded enough to have this, that we could prevent a lot more of these tragedies?
I believe so, yeah.
It's just sad that happens, you know, like that people have an ability and then people don't understand it. So they just kind of shun it. They shun it because they don't understand it. And when it's actually a useful tool, especially with all this human trafficking that everybody knows about, you know what I mean?
It's a lot more lately.
And apparently they should be coming to Cheryl because she doesn't have to warm up. She's just like right in the zone, out the gate, ready to go. So like, whereas the rest of them got to warm up. She's like, hey, they got to warm up. They're rookies.
Well, see, there's two different ways to remote view. You know, the Army used to do remote viewing, but all they do is they like focus. They can pinpoint location. See, a medium actually sees the pictures and hears the sounds. It's different.
Okay, and you consider yourself a medium, I assume.
I am, yeah.
Good. So tell us some more stories about some people that you found. I'd love to hear that, for sure.
Well, so just been a lot of stories about, you will have Amber Alerts, and the one where I drew a picture, I says, this is the neighbor teenager that took this little girl. And I'm looking at a map, and I says, he took her over to McDonald's. So they're looking for McDonald's and all this. And I drew a picture of him, and that's how they found out it was the neighbor. And I saw his picture, and it looked just like him. I love when it works out that way.
Oh, yeah. So you saw the description of him, and then you described it to a sketch artist?
I didn't see any description. Kind of I have together. Software. I have police gotcha. Software. I drew the picture myself.
Oh, wow.
You put, it's not like a sketch artist. You put pieces of the puzzle together, the forehead, the eyebrows. You put each piece together.
Now, is there times that you just get like intuitions or like before you even get a picture, or any information on anybody missing? Do you sometimes get like, you know, like little intuitions or like flashes of something, and then maybe a little bit later, someone's like, "Hey, where this missing kid or missing child is?" And then you have already kind of seen it. Have you ever had that experience?
Yeah, that happens on Facebook quite a lot, where I'm thinking about something, and then I'll look at just some random person I don't even know, say, "My brother's missing. It. Can anybody help me find him?" And I just jumped on that one. I didn't know this woman. I said, "Okay, well, what's your brother? Where's your brother's picture?" And I did. He's older. He was in his 20s. But they were worried about him, that he might hurt himself. And I saw that he was down by some factories, and it was like under a bridge. And he's sitting there, and what I says, he's got his phone laying on the ground. "Yeah, his phone must be turned off. We're trying to call him," I said. So I remote viewed there, and I was standing next to him, and I said, "Would you pick up your phone and call your sister? If I could pick this up and put it in your hand, I would, but I'm not capable of picking things up. I wish I could remote view and bring something back home with me, a rock or something sometime, you know, to prove I was there, but so far." But I kept saying, "Pick up, turn your phone on, call your sister," and a couple seconds later, she goes, "He just called, and he's okay."
So he heard you then, at that point.
I would assume, but I don't know. But he did have his phone turned off, you know, so.
Yeah, and then he turned it back on and called. That's very interesting. Switch gears a little bit and get into how you got involved with MUFON and, you know, your interests with UFOs and CTE. How did that all start for you? Because one thing I have noticed, especially with mediums and people that talk to spirits, are very involved with UFO sightings and are very connected to extraterrestrial or even interdimensional communication. So I kind of want to know how you started getting into that part of it. Because I know initially, you know, you could remote view, and you said as you got older, more spirits would talk to you. How did you get really into that other side of it? You know, I'm a firm believer then it's all connected. Sean and I both are, that, you know, the universe is connected in a way that most people aren't privy to. But I'm curious about that.
Well, I'm also a paranormal investigator, which I've been doing for like 20 years.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, that's why I said people talk to me before I get somewhere. I don't know. Just one day I thought, I think I want to join MUFON. So we have a local chapter in Michigan, and the director lives in my town, which was kind of nice. Mm. And I just joined. I also joined the national chapter. And one day when we were, well, first let me tell you, I did have a sighting myself.
Okay. Yeah, tell us about that.
I was just driving down Woodward one afternoon. It's just kind of a busy street in town. No clouds in the sky. I look up. The sky opened up like a portal. The silver craft came out. It's just over there. And I go, okay, and nobody else is looking. I'm pointing, nobody else is looking at this thing. It's so big, how can you not see it? And I don't know how many minutes I'm looking at it, because I couldn't take my eyes off it, and everything around me seemed like it just stopped. And then I saw it go back into the hole, and the sky just closed up. Now, this is before I had a camera phone, of course.
So... a couple questions about that. Yeah. Was it daylight or was it nighttime?
Daylight. Daytime.
Okay.
That's why I said, how can no one see this?
Shape of the craft. What was the shape of the craft?
It was a saucer shape. I couldn't tell if it had lights, because it was daylight. If it had lights, it didn't turn them on, you know. Yeah.
It
was huge.
Portal opened. Oh, here we go.
But nobody seemed looking at it. Maybe I was the only one supposed to see it. Maybe it was, oopsie, you weren't supposed to see it either. I don't know.
Or maybe because of your abilities that it was visible to you. Because we kind of like believe a lot about the frequencies and different being able to see. So maybe your mind is already geared for that, then others aren't.
Yeah. So then I says, well, I think I'm going to join MUFON. This sounds like really cool. Need to know more stuff. So one time, we always have guest speakers at our meetings. And one time we had this couple on there, and they start talking about how they do CE5 groups, which is close encounters of the fifth kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when you try to communicate with whatever is out there and see if they'll communicate back. So they asked me if I want to join their group once in a while, which I can't wait to do some if it warms up this fall. And and we go out and we form a circle, do a little meditation, and then we just sit there and just your energy, you know, how you got it again, the energy, the right energy with the right people. Sometimes we see stuff, sometimes we don't. One time we had a guy with singing bowls, and that vibration always does something, and these two balls of light appeared out of the woods, and they were about the size of basketballs.
Mm.
And I'm going, look over there, and everybody's looking up in the sky. I said, something's happening over there. But only two of us were watching. I says, okay. So they were going back and forth, exchanging places. The one was stretching up and down like it was swaying to the music. We watched this for like 10 minutes. I got pictures on my camera, but I forgot to do video. That would have been cool to watch them move back and forth. And then all of a sudden, they just turned off like somebody turned the flashlight off. What it was, I don't know.
Interesting.
That's interesting, too, because I think that a lot of people say that, you know, they always go, oh, how come you didn't get your camera? But I've had this, like, thought that maybe, like, you're in a trance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that whatever vibration they're sending back at us, it kind of puts us in a trance. And in the human brain anyways, a lot of times when you see stuff, especially except for, like, the younger generations, like, even, like, my generation, probably a little bit younger, they're more used to having that camera phone on you. So, like, I'm used to having it since I was about like 17, 18. So it's not there. But if you've had it your whole life, you're ready to pull it out. But most of us are not. But I also really think that it kind of just freezes us into that moment in time as if nothing else is moving. And we're just kind of in that zone and it snaps out. Like once it goes away, like we snap out of it, but then it's too late. Like then we're like, oh, we should get our camera.
I got several photos of it, but I just didn't do video. I should have done video or my... you know, to watch you moving around it, especially that one that was stretching. I got a photo of it that stretched, but I can't say it was stretching up and down. You have to just believe me, you know.
Right. Yeah. I've seen some CT photos. I've seen some that look straight up like gray aliens walking around as well.
Yeah. I got another picture that came out of the woods. It was another bright light. And I took a photo of it on my full spectrum. And when I went home and put it on my computer, I mean, I blew it up, and it looks like a little alien baby.
Mm.
I don't know what it is, but
yeah, that's pretty wild. And to what Sean just said, I'm gonna go ahead and add on to that, Sean. any of my experiences that I've had with just paranormal and high strangeness, whether it be shooting documentaries or actually looking for the stuff, or it happened, just in, you know, out in the open somewhere, you know, people weren't around. I generally think too that, yeah, we could catch some of the stuff on camera, and for everybody listening, we got some stuff on camera for this next documentary. So you're going to want to watch it in this video. So y'all get ready. But anyway, I do think a lot of times these things know that, especially when it comes to Bigfoot and some of these, cryptids, they're pretty smart. They know if you get your camera out or if you get your camera up, it goes back to the frequencies. I think they know that. So I think that's a lot of times why they show up when you don't have anything out to take a video or take a picture, where you get that full blown experience. I think that's part of it too.
And like you said, I think they only select certain people to see things. Mm. Because yeah. they know you are ready. You are the ones, you know.
And that it's also different when you are searching for something and unexpectedly happen. You know, like just even like if you see a car crash right in front of you, like you kind of freeze in general. So I think because a lot of like the encounters that you hear with people, it's not like they're, you know, they're camping, they're on a hike, they're not going after looking for, you know, aliens or Bigfoot or anything like that. It's just like, oh, whoa. Like, so like, I think that really throws your mind through a loop. I think you have a better chance if you're actually, like you were saying, Joel, like when you guys go out there and you're actually like, hey, this is our mission, you know, we're going to, so it's easier for you to have more potential of capturing something, I think, you know, on camera or something like for it, unless it just, boom, I'm in my car and it runs past me. You know what I mean? I'm going to just like, I'm going to freeze up. You know what I mean? I think that's just, I think that they know too, like that it kind of, they do it intentionally because maybe they need to cross this path or go somewhere. And they're like, oh, well, I really believe that there's frequencies that they let off. And then like, if you're aware and your mind's strong and you're ready, prepared, like maybe you're able to, you know, fight through that and do more. But when you're not ready and it's unexpected, then I think it puts you in a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, because it'll take you a couple seconds to grab that phone and go to photo and it's gone, you know.
Yeah. And I think you do have to be open to the supernatural world for that to take place too. And I'm just a big believer in that because I just, now you have the, you do have the people here and there that, you know, really maybe aren't necessarily, maybe they are within themselves pretty open to it, but they haven't really thought about it. And I think that they may run across something and then they're, you know, oh my, kind of like you saw the UFO come out of a portal where you're like, I got to go track down. I got to be a part of MUFON. You know what I mean? Because it spurred you on to want to grow what you saw. Because, you know, when I had my first UFO experience, it was more of a validation because I was already, you know, a believer in the high strangeness as it was. So for me, it was just a validation. And then it was just an experience that, you know, I witnessed for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, a large triangular ship with small ships going in and out of it, which was pretty wild for a short, you know, for a long period of time, me and a couple other people. But again, you know, they were very open to that stuff too. And, you know, when it happened, it was something we just enjoyed. I honestly, I didn't think about grabbing my phone or anything like that. I think it's back to what Sean said.
Yeah. You're just enjoying that moment. Yeah. Because I mean, I've always been interested in UFOs because my father used to bring magazines home from work, and he used to bring Popular Mechanics. And in the back of Popular Mechanics, they had stories about UFOs.
Mm.
So I was the weird little girl, I know. The other little girls didn't talk about this stuff.
Look at you now, a professional remote viewer tracking down kids all over the world. Oh, for sure. So tell me a little bit more about you getting into, you know, the cryptid side of it. I know we've talked skinwalkers, you know, what you're looking to do there, you know, what you have been doing. We'll save your biggest, you said you got experience to tell us. We'll save that a little bit later, but I definitely want to get into, you know, some of your experiences with that realm as well. Cause again, I'm with Sean. I think it's all connected. So I think when you're talking about cryptids, when you're talking about, you know, the spirit world, when you're talking about UFOs, I think it's a very, it's all connected. It's all, you know, intertwined. And I'm sure you're a pretty big believer in that too. So let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, cause see, I'm just multifaceted. I'm into paranormal. I'm into cryptid. I'm into UFOs. I have all these different groups of friends and go to different events and been going to a lot of Bigfoot events lately.
Mm.
And my experience, and I don't think I saw it. I heard it. I was, filming with Chris Alton from the UK a few years ago. And we went up by Chicago to a Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, which is the fourth haunted, most haunted cemetery in the U.S. And it's in a forest preserve. So he's filming and we're going around looking at the cemetery. And this guy was there. He goes, hey, did you guys ever walk down the path here? And I said, well, no, I come up here by myself. And it's not pretty smart for a woman to walk through the forest preserve by herself. No.
Hmm.
So we start walking down the path, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing tree knocking.
Here we go.
And I go, what? No, it's tree knocking. Now, Chris didn't know what it was. He goes, somebody's chopping down a tree. I said, we're in a forest preserve. They're not chopping down a tree. I said, somebody's knocking on a tree. And they kept it up. And I said, who's doing that? And it stopped. And I go, shouldn't have said that. So then we hear it again. So now I got my phone ready. I'm getting a picture of this guy. But the trees in the brush was just so thick I couldn't see it, but you could still hear the tree knocking. And I wanted to smack him because he should have done his overwords, you know, when he got back home. But he's going, ladies and gentlemen, there was a tree knocking. Shut up, Chris. Shut up. let us hear it. You can kind of hear it on the video, but it's not as good as if he would stop talking. So it stopped. So then we walked a little ways down to the end of the path, and I saw a tree structure. And again, he says, oh, kids playing. No, that was a tree structure.
Mm.
So we turned around, start coming back. We got back to that same spot. Now, we're walking along a dry riverbed right now. It was completely hot summer. There was no water in it. And we hear the tree knocking again. And I said, my gosh, I got to see this. And the next thing we know, something walked between us. You could feel it walk between us, but you couldn't see anything. It smelled so bad. And it walked through the dry riverbed and up the other side. Now, I know that was a Bigfoot being cloaked, walking between us. I know it was. I know it was.
Yeah, see, that just kind of plays into what we heard a few weeks ago, Sean. Yeah. Because we saw Ron Moorhead, and he's a big, you know, big in the quantum Bigfoot, and he talks about the cloaking. And, yeah, that's pretty wild. So you felt it between you two. And you could see it. Now it was, I'm assuming it's dark out, right?
No, daytime.
So it's daytime.
Daytime.
Oh, this is wild.
Daytime.
So, okay,
that's
now I got a bunch of questions.
A picture. That's why I said I was going to get a picture. It was daytime.
Oh, so I got a bunch of questions now.
Okay,
So he walks between you and you feel him.
You could feel like the air when somebody's walking past.
Yeah.
You could feel that.
Yeah.
Okay,
there was
so
no breeze. There was no breeze there.
No breeze.
No.
And was there any, did you see anything at all? Because sometimes people say when they see something cloaking, there's a weird light reflection or something off of it. Or was it just completely cloaked, but you felt
completely
it?
Completely cloaked. Just felt the breeze and smelled really bad. No. Couldn't see a darn thing.
And you said this was like around Chicago, correct? Now, I don't know, and I wish I could. I'm going to have to look into this, but I wonder if there's any like hydrant, the colliders around there. You know what I mean? If there's any of those little colliders, like we talked about, like opening portals and like, because, you know, when we were talking with Cryptids of Corn and how they had that whole, you know, experience that their buddy had underneath, you know, the Chicago. I was wondering if they had one of those colliders, because I want to like start mapping out like where those colliders are at and then try to like pair it with like these sightings. You know what I mean? And see if there's some kind of pattern.
Because
Tony really got me on that whole bit right there, because of what's happening in Pennsylvania to what's happening in Tennessee. Then, and I wonder if there's some kind of connection.
This is Malathion. It's not Chicago. It's a suburb.
Okay.
It's up by the Rubio Forest Preserve.
And there's a lot of activity and stuff that happens up around that area.
I didn't know about that till I came home, and I'm telling some people. They go, yeah, it's a big Bigfoot sighting place. So now I know I wasn't crazy.
Really? So the structure. So I've had experience with the structure too. So I'm curious to what your structure looked like. If you could tell me what it looked like. Everybody's got the typical teepee-like structure, but you know, what was it? What did it look like to you? I know they do vary.
Well, I've even found other structures at another place in Michigan, and I showed them to Ronnie LeBlanc when we were at the event, and he goes, "These are cool structures." So that I was so proud that that he liked my structures that I found. Yeah, it was, you could tell like it was a building. I would say it's maybe 3 feet tall, but you had, but the roof, it wasn't a whole teepee. It was more flat, but the roof was just like very nice with branches and leaves. Really intertwined, that somebody really worked on that. It just didn't fall down like that. And it wasn't kids doing that. It was just too intricate.
Yeah, I know they do vary, though, because some of them, like you just said, have the flat, more of a flat roof. Some of them have more of a teepee structure. When I was out in the woods in the Daniel Boone National Forest, the one that I found was more of a teepee structure. It didn't have a roof on it, but underneath it, there was leaves and sticks laid out for something to lay on. So, and the thing was, the tree structures or the logs, I mean, they were fallen trees. They were too big for just one person to move around. I mean, even if it was myself and Sean and eight clones of us, like we couldn't move those around to make that happen. So I knew it was something in there that, you know, was big enough or had some sort of other abilities that we don't know about that was able to move that stuff around. But that's why I wanted to know, because I know they do vary in how they look, but what you said is, you know, with the leaves and the intertwine, a lot of those will have that. So that's pretty indicative of a Bigfoot sighting.
The other things that I saw at this other place, you know, you've seen on Expedition Bigfoot, the big X ones.
Yeah, I've seen the X ones.
Yeah. Well, I found a couple of those, and it was like a double X. I mean, it was so tall, there's no way that a human did that. And I found the little bent ones.
Yeah. Speaking of the X ones.
Yeah, I found like five along a path where I was walking, and I go, oh my gosh, this is interesting. And sure enough, over on the other side, I found, like this structure that was like it was a nest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, I don't know what those little signs there were for, you know, keep out or this is the place to come. I don't, you know, we don't know what those things mean.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And also connected with the X ones is a lot of giant sightings as well. A lot of people say they run into red-headed giants or some version of Nephilim in these areas. I know I've heard some stories about down in the bayou where the you know, waters had risen because of rain and stuff, and people had got deeper back there than they had been in, you know, a decade or so. And there were some giant X tree structures out there, and there was some thumping, and they went past the X, and they felt the literal ground vibrating.
Oh, and we weren't supposed to go there.
No, they weren't. That's what the X was for. So they say they took off running, they got in a boat, and as they were peeling out in the boat, they looked back, and where the trees were set. It was about 20 feet. And there was a humanoid head that was staring at them, towering over it, that was back there. So it's a pretty wild story. But I find that the X stuff's not just connected to Bigfoot, that it is connected to these giant sightings as well in North America, especially when you get into mountainous ranges with a lot of forests and trees. There's a lot of giant sightings, and they're a lot of times, you know, accompanied with these big X's, and it's almost like they're marking territory with them sometimes too. And I think Bigfoot does the same thing.
Yeah. I figure, am I supposed to be here? I'm seeing all these things as I'm walking. I go, I don't know. Am I supposed to be here or not? But nobody chased me out, so I guess it was okay.
Yeah, and you don't know, too, if they were right there, just close.
Could have been. But they didn't mind that I was in their structure looking for hair and stuff.
Yeah, because...
And we don't know the intentions either, you know? Like, we don't, like... Because we've talked before a lot of times, like... people say, like, you know, when you don't know what something is, you may be afraid and you may think that it has nefarious, you don't know, like, For all that, they may be watching us as much as we're finding to watch them.
They see us before we even get there, of course.
Definitely. And we talked to, we had a show like, what was it? Maybe like 5-6 shows ago. We were talking to Eric from the Uncomfortable Podcast, and he was really talking a lot about the frequency, and that's what really got me on that whole frequency thing. So like, if they can change their frequencies, like, or call it cloaking, whatever, I think that that's really going to be a game changer. And that's what I think, like, we were discussing on there, that maybe that's just some kind of passageway, you know, like to figure out their abilities as well. Maybe they're thrown out there, whether in portals or wherever, whatever their existence comes from, that maybe this is some kind of trial period of where they're supposed to go out. Like, hey, you know, like old native tribes where they would send children out to like go be a warrior. You come back and now you're a warrior. Maybe it's something similar to that. I do subscribe to that pretty heavily.
I believe that they use infrasound. I do.
Yeah, that's a really good theory too. And I've heard a lot about the infrasound. Explain that a little bit for listeners that don't understand how they might use infrasound.
And infrasound is you don't really hear it with your ears. Your body feels it. Because I heard that tigers also let off infrasound. But you don't hear anything at all with your ears. Your whole body will vibrate, and you know that you're hearing something, but you don't know what it is.
That plays into the frequency theory too that our buddy Eric has been talking about. He came on the show and talked about too, which you know Eric as well. Eric talks about the Bigfoot frequency, which if anybody hasn't heard this, let's listen to this episode. Go back to that episode, Bigfoot frequency, because Eric really broke that down in a way that was really cool on how that they're using frequencies to cloak, and similar to the way that you would blow a dog whistle and how a dog would hear it and we can't. It's very similar to that, to how they can cloak and the way that they can move around. I know Ron Moorhead talks about that they can slip in and out dimensionally pretty quickly, too.
I believe that, too. I believe he's interdimensional. I do believe that.
I think so, too. I believe that. And then that, like, that's why I think, like, that's why the frequency aspect plays well with me, because I think being interdimensional, having different abilities that we don't necessarily have. And maybe we do have some that we don't hone, or that we're not really privy to, because we're kind of like not playing into them, because we're just living in society, kind of like, hey, we got to be this way, got to be that. And maybe we do have those same similar abilities, but I think they're interdimensional. I believe really big in, like, I've been getting deep into like a lot of the portal stuff. I think there's different things coming over. Because we really, I think that with the spiritual and the cryptic, it's all the same. And the same thing with aliens and all that. Like, I really believe that they're all like some entities that are more spiritual, on a spiritual level, that people are just not understanding. And I'm not sure what that is. Maybe some of that Nephilim blood stuff that we talk about a little bit. Like, I think that has something to do with it, that maybe they're traveling. We just had an episode where we're talking about angels and stuff, and these may be some of the, not lackeys, but, you know, like kind of the front men that are kind of coming down there and being the foot soldiers for whatever side they may be. We don't know. But I think that them coming around and just being able to just be seen and not seen so quickly, like, and like you said, that they're watching us, they know where we're at before we even get there. I've never had any Bigfoot experiences or even alien experiences. My experiences are more like, and I still have this like almost every day, like I have experiences like that something's right there, like I could see it, and then it's like a shadowy figure, but it's gone. Like, I have like that almost every day. So I kind of like, but I don't know what it is, you know what I mean? Like, because and you could feel like, also, I don't know if you guys have had these experiences, and if you have, like, do you know, like, you feel that presence, you know what I mean? You feel like, it's not just like, oh yeah, you see in the corner of their eye, it was some like shirts on a, you know, on a chair or something. It's like literally walking from work, turning into an office, and I see something. And then when I look, when I really, really look, I don't see it there, but you feel a presence.
And you know, if you see something out of the corner of your eye, don't turn your head. because Ooh. Your peripheral vision sees different than when you're looking straight on. So if you see something over there, just keep looking out of the corner of your eye. The minute you turn your head, you think it's gone, but it's still there.
So you're saying that, so this I haven't really heard about, and maybe you can
I'm a paranormal investigator.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying that your peripheral vision is more in tuned to the spirit world than direct.
Right.
The way that you're looking. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Just the way your eyes work. Just the way your eyes see.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's definitely true because that's how I see everything, you know, like everything's like in the peripheral vision and pretty well. Like, it's not just like I see something, like you can see like descriptive, like not maybe like so much as the face, but like a figure of where I could see arms, like a shape of a head, shape of like sometimes like it looks like they have maybe a hat on, some kind of jacket, not like in color, but like kind of almost like a silhouette. Like a silhouette. That's kind of like the best way to describe it. And like I say, I see it all the time. And then you feel like the presence. And then like when I kind of turn and I look and I don't see anything, I kind of still feel the presence. And then it feels like it's gone. Because then I'm like,
You'll hear so many people go, I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And when I looked, it was gone. But then they never went back and looked out of the corner of their eye again. And it could have still been there, you know.
I'm going to really try that. I think like... Because I think your instincts is to turn, you know, like right away, like your instincts to turn. But now that you said that, I'm going to try to keep that in my brain to kind of like get more. Because I do kind of want to. Yeah, yeah,
for sure. Tell you're seeing this every day, Sean. Like, see, I feel like you're, yeah, not like you're building single, like a shadow like man other team. Day. You tell me about this.
Yeah, at least like every other day. Like I just seen it the other day, like yesterday, like the same thing. Like I just turned and like. And then the last one that I saw was like looked like almost like for some reason, like it reminded me of like Abraham Lincoln. I don't know why, like it just looked like a tall man. Person.
Oh, with, boy.
With like a top hat. You know what I mean? It looked like really tall with the top hat.
Oh, you got to tell me this stuff, man. I got to watch myself with you, man. I'm buying you a shirt for Christmas. Hashtag shadow team. Like,
shadow team. Not only am I shadow banned, but
here's another one of my theories. You know, you say it looks like, you know, shadows and all that. Well, my theory is, what if, you know, we have all these different dimensions around us. You know, what if what if spirits are standing in another dimension right next to us? You know, they look like shadow people to us, but when they're on the other side, maybe they're solid like we are. Maybe they're looking at us and we look like shadow people. And I've asked spirits but they don't answer me. Maybe they're not supposed to tell us.
We're not privy to that information.
That plays into a story I heard about Starlight Ranch. So the guy that used to own Starlight Ranch, he's dead now, but like I heard a story from him, and he said one of the things that he saw when he was on there in his house, he said that he watched two kids from a different time period, but they were transparent, but he could see through them, but he could still see them. And they walked, he could hear them talk. They were talking about things going on in that time. And they walked kind of to the middle and then just disappeared. It's almost like they slipped in and out of time. So it's one of those weird, similar to that. It's not so much the shadows, but he saw this to where, you know, it was almost like a weird time loop that happened just kind of out of nowhere. But he had a lot of weird stuff happen on that property. He has quoted, I think he's killed up to 50 gray aliens on his property that have tried to harass him.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So,
why would you kill him?
I know. Well, he used to chain his wife to the beds because they would try to suck her up into one of their ships every night. So he had to chain her to the bed. And, this dude ran around with a sword, like, chopping him up. Like, it's pretty wild, man. It's a wild. He's written, I believe, a couple books, like, before he died. But the guy's got some, he had some wild stuff.
What are you guys' thoughts on, like, dimensional traveling, but like through dreams? Like, because I have a lot of like, not just descriptive dreams, but it's almost like just even like the past few nights, you know, like I have dreams as it were, if I feel like I'm in another world that I'm supposed to be in, that I feel like I know everything. I know everybody. Like I had one like last week where we were on some kind of like, it was like some kind of military-ish base, but everybody was kind of living there and we knew everybody. And we had like, you know, I had some romantic relationship with somebody and we were then like, we were evacuating, right? And like into something. I don't remember the details. I probably should write them down, but I wake up and I'm like, what the heck? Like, you know what I mean? But I have this like feeling that it almost feels like I'm in another world, that world really does exist. And I know people would say like, oh, you know, it's just your imagination. I do watch a lot of movies. I do subscribe to like sometimes, yeah, maybe I'm watching. So, but in these times lately, I'm not watching Big Bang Theory before I fall asleep. It's not like I'm going into some deep, crazy movie. So I don't know if you guys think of that, of like that there's some kind of like way that we could kind of view, maybe not travel to, but maybe we're just viewing this other dimension or other world.
Do you know what astral projecting is?
Maybe
you're astral projecting. I do that sometimes when I'm sleeping. I go to other places and I feel myself walking around. That's why I says, I wish I could bring a rock back with me to prove that, yeah, I was there, because I know. Or sometimes I find myself flying above the earth, looking down at stuff. That's another form of astral projecting, and I don't know why I do that when I'm sleeping. It worries me that I'm not going to come back into my body some night, you know?
First off, I'm going to tell the listeners, Sean's not telling me any of this shit.
I know.
Like, I don't know about any of this. He is literally he's living in another world with a wife and 10 kids. He's going to war. This man's been to war. He's got PTSD. He's bringing PTSD back here. No wonder he's freaking out all the time. Like, God, man, you didn't tell me all this. Like, what's going on here?
I got him sharing. People like to share with me. They always like to share things.
Yeah.
There's so much to say in this world. Well, we're always like doing stuff.
You've opened his cold heart up to me. Building things.
Yeah. I can meet a total stranger, and before 5 minutes are up, they're sharing things with me that they never told anybody else.
I have that ability on people as well. Like, I've had some strange things, like, and sometimes I'm like, man, that's pretty personal. I don't know if you want to just tell me I just met you 1 minute ago, but I just go,
listen, you know, it's like they really needed to tell somebody, and you're the one. So
that, and when I go into stores, like, I always find the older lady that's like, can you pick this up for me? Like, out of everybody, she always picks me, but then my family tells me that, like, oh, the same thing used to be with your dad, same thing, like, and my brother's the same way. I think it's just like the aura we bring as well. I think people were like, it's comforting. And when people know that, I think they just sense it subconsciously. They can't even like, and they just go, because people have told me some wild things. I've had people talk about like being abused, from one minute of meeting them. And you're like, and at first you're like, man, I don't know. Like, cause you're just meeting them. So it's a little bit awkward for me. Like, I'm like, I don't know if we should start the conversation. Like, usually I started with hi.
I just let them talk, you know, and then they go, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I feel I can trust you, you know, so I just let them talk. Right. Yeah, they know I'm not going to repeat it. So, yeah, okay.
No, you just feel comfortable because you're a 20-year war vet in this other country, in this other dimension. You're like dimensional, like, war hero that I didn't even know about. I should be, like, thanking you for your service.
I've been many places too, you wouldn't believe it.
I do want to get to your story, your new story that you said that you've got to tell us, something that followed you back. So set the stage for people so they know where you went, what you were doing, and then what came back with you. This is going to be a good one.
Well, I'm in my house when this happened. I was co-authoring the book, Digging into Skinwalker Ranch, and I wanted to remote view to the ranch and make a chapter out of what I saw. So I did that. And the crazy part was, first thing I saw was this, I saw a little stream there. Now, I don't know what the place looked like. I saw a little stream, and it had a beaver dam with two beavers, and there was a native man standing there. He was holding a bow in his hand. He had his hair in one braid. I can just tell you details of this man. And he looked familiar to me, and I said, why does he look familiar? I had never been there. And then I realized he had been coming to me in Sweat Lodge for the last 7 years.
Mm.
And now I didn't know, you know, who was he? And then I know in Sweat Lodge, he told me his name was Stan's Looking, and I thought, well, that's a strange name. But then when I did the remote view to Skinwalker Ranch, he told me that he watches over the ranch and protects it. So I guess that's where he got the name Stan's Looking. Now it makes sense to me. So I says, okay. So I did the book, and probably a month later, I realized that something followed me home. Now, I remote viewed, I don't know how many times, nothing's ever followed me home, but we're talking about Skinwalker Ranch here, so, yeah.
Right.
I had a hitchhiker. So I'm just sitting there by my computer one day, and I saw, in the corner of my eye, I thought, two shadow people. But then when I looked again, that was just two figures standing in the shadows. And they had large eyes. And I'm thinking, it's not human. It felt interdimensional to me, whatever. Anything could be interdimensional. Even aliens, who knows? And they started downloading binary code in my brain. And I go, no. Yeah. And I go, no, this isn't happening. And they go, no. And they do it again. I says, no, I don't understand. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. And I couldn't write it down because it is just coming in so fast and I won't be able to read binary code anyway. You know, so finally I go, it's okay. And I said, but I don't understand. Well, you'll know when you get here. Well, I'm not going there. Okay. So I didn't feel weird, enlightened or anything, but I have some binary code in me now. So a couple of weeks ago, I went out to Utah and my friend took me out to the stop sign out there. And as soon as we got out of the truck, I felt like I'd been there before. And I said, no, maybe my remote view, but I've never been there before. And I heard that same voice say, pick up that rock. And I said, well, I'm on a gravel road. Which particular rock should I pick up? So then I saw a vision of a flat oval-shaped rock. So I'm looking around. I go, oh, there's one. So I pick it up, and the voice said, not that one. So I got my hitchhiker's a comedian. So I looked and I found another one and I said, okay, how about this one? That's the one. And it started vibrating in my hand. And then the voice said, the binary code has been activated. Now I still don't wow. Feel different. Okay. I don't know what happened.
You activated something. You probably activated Sean over in this other zone.
I don't feel smarter. I don't feel different. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe
in time I'll know. I won't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it will be revealed, you know?
It was revealed. You got like an extra weapon over there in the middle of the battle.
Yeah, that's
a vibrating rock. Yeah, and I took it up in the backyard on my driveway, and I took my tri-field meter, and it went all the way up to 4. Now it's a rock. There should be no readings on a rock.
Yeah,
you know, so there's something about it. I don't know.
You still have the rock?
Keep it? Oh, of course. I have to
don't get it around Sean.
It's part of me now.
He's just going to activate all the way up. He's going to bring all his powers here.
I keep it on my nightstand hoping I'll have really cool dreams, but so far nothing. But at least I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's the problem, too, is that with dreams, you know, you have like they slip away, you know. Like you have them, and then like so much. I think it's when we wake up too, but that's crazy that something followed you, like especially through all the times that you've remote viewed, and so now it seems like there's something. So maybe it's activating something, but as well, it's kind of activating you. Like you don't feel it, but it's activating you to start. You're going to start going down a path. Maybe you are now getting in your investigation You don't know where yet, right? But it's drawing you to somewhere.
That's all I can tell you. I feel different, but I don't know how I feel different. That's all I can say. I don't know how. And when you're dreaming, you got to remember when you wake up in the morning, if you're in the middle of a dream, don't open your eyes, because once you open your eyes, it's gone. If you keep your eyes closed, then you can remember it. That's probably the last dream you're having right before you woke up,
I screw my dreams up all the time like that.
Yeah,
like
I found out if I open my eyes, boop, it's gone, you know? That's weird, too. I don't know why that works, but...
I can usually remember pretty like the one that I had the other night, man. I had like, it was even weirder. It was like with LeBron James, Steph Curry, and some other basketball player. And we were in a car and it was a car accident. And then like, it looked like Steph Curry like got severed from the, from his waist. And I was like crying like, oh my God, oh my God. And they're like, and then for, I swear, like at first it really looked like he was, like cut from the waist. Like I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what we're going to do. Like we're on the side of the road. And then like, they're like, oh no, it's not that bad. I turn back and he's like, oh, it's not that bad of a cut, man. And he's like, I got it, bro. Don't worry. And they, so like, we're sewing him back up. And I was like,
wow,
that's great.
Wow.
What other lives are you living? Like, this is like stuff I don't know about you. Like you're a basketball player in another world. You're like a super soldier.
Yeah, man.
And that's why you, and that's why you're like, oh, I can open my eyes and remember everything. Cause they've, you've got like this, the juice. You brought the juice back from over there.
Yeah. It's been forever, man. It's cause I've been dreaming like this for, man, I've had so many crazy dreams. Like they're interesting though. Like that's what I also think is crazy too. Cause people say, they used to tell you, you know, like, hey, if you die in a dream, you really die. But I have died in dreams and I did not die. I just kept the dream continued on as if I was watching the movie. Like I wasn't there anymore, but it was continuously went on. But I do think that's also a connection as well. Like all these are pieces to me. Like obviously I'm not going to figure out the puzzle tonight. It's not going to it's going to take me even longer. People have been going through this puzzle longer than me, but I do think that all this stuff is connected. It's all a piece. I just don't know how it all fits together.
That's the journey though, right? That's what we're trying to do.
Right.
That's the fun part, is trying to figure out how all the Lego fit into making this, you know,
and to let you know if you were going on a path and you kind of swayed off the wrong way, to get you back on that right path again.
True. I think that we will by talking and having conversations and having an open mind to other people, especially when you're not, maybe not understand. Like that's why we see it a lot in all of these worlds. Like there's people that are really down and really believe in cryptids, but they don't believe in aliens, or they don't believe in angels, or they don't believe in. And I think these, and same thing we talk about too, like people know about government conspiracies, but they don't believe in necessarily cryptids, or they don't see that they're so intertwined with each other. And I think once we can push that veil away and see that it's all really the same, and that's how we're going to find the pattern. But people are too busy. Like, I got to focus on just Bigfoot, or I got to focus on gray aliens, or I got to focus on, lizard people, or whatever it may be. Like they're focusing on, instead of just using each one as a piece of the puzzle, like, hey, that's part of it. That's part of it. Let's put it all together. And I think the more we can get people to, maybe not understand, but be open-minded to things they don't understand, like remote viewing or psychics or mediums, or like, you know what I mean? Or, paranormal things that have happened to people, because there's so many things that have happened to people that like have stories. Like I've probably said this a few times, but they're not lying, because you can have thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of different stories, and every single person's lying. Is there one every now and then that someone's exaggerating to try to get attention? Sure, but you can usually tell, because those people are willing to be like, talk about it. Most of the time, the people that are saying their stories that, and you could tell they're true, is because they don't really want to tell you. Yeah. You know what I mean? They kind of are a little reluctant. They're like,
yeah. And the person that wants to keep telling their story over and over, you notice every time they add a little bit more to it. You know? Mm-hmm. If you got a real story, you never vary. That's your story.
Yeah, because you don't forget it, especially it's like engraved in your brain.
And I've noticed when I would go to different events, like you said, the paranormal people don't mingle with the UFO people, and
That's so crazy to me, though, because it's all connected. And yeah. I will say this, that Sean and I, with a lot of the podcasters that we work with closely and the work I do with Merkle Media, with documentaries, and even with music, with Quan and all the stuff we do there, everybody's so open-minded to the fact that all of us is connected. And exactly. I feel like that's how we're all getting closer to the truth, is understanding that, hey, this government conspiracy over here is connected to this UFO experience or this paranormal experience mm-hmm. or whatever else. It's all connected. It's not, there's not a divide between it. I feel like when you have put the divide between it is when you're really pushing yourself further away from the actual truth.
Yeah. In my book, Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles, I have a lot of government conspiracies in there. Along with the regular mysteries, you know.
We love it.
Yeah, because there's definitely not just cover-ups, but things that we don't know. Like, I mean, it's just let your mind, like, really, like, I don't understand this whole thought. It's like the same thing about when people talk about disinformation, like, oh, this, well, if is it going to hurt you? Like, if it is wrong, if I'm wrong and I say something and I'm wrong, it's not going to hurt you because you should actually analyze it and try to figure it out. But they want to use and everybody gatekeeps like, oh, no, it's got to be only this. Oh, no, I'm only talking about this. And it's like they're basing either on an audience or the perception of people around them. It's like, no, just really investigate and listen to people because there's so many experiences out there that you may never have experienced. Like I've never experienced a UFO or alien, but that doesn't mean that I don't think that it's possible. Like, I mean, I'm kind of jealous because I want one, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Like, you're a super soldier from another dimension and you're talking about aliens. You're doing something nobody else is doing. I'm riding you on this one, man. This is not going away.
But before we get out of here, could you let everybody know, like, you know, where they could get your books, maybe follow you or find some of your the information that you have?
My books are on Amazon. If you want a signed copy, you can just message me on Facebook. I have tons of books here. I also have a website, www.CherylLynnCarter.com. I've got different photos of my adventures and different things that I do. I need to update more adventures in there right now. I also...
Definitely, you have to.
I also am a moderator in a Skinwalker Ranch group. On Facebook, we have 82,000 followers and growing every day. So if you jump in there, you get all kinds of cool stuff that we're talking about. Today we were talking about my remote viewing in there. And people were calling me crazy and, you know, some people were calling me crazy.
We don't think you're crazy.
If you're so good, remote view to my house and tell me what I'm doing right now, you know. Yeah, I had a couple of those. I just ignored them. But
that's a classic, though. It's very similar to what we get if we put something out on social media, where I create these reels and I talk about different conspiracies in these reels. You got 90 seconds. I just give you like something entertaining to make you think. But guarantee there's going to be a handful of people like, source, where's your source? Where's that at?
Two today, but it's, you know, but it's just like they were annoying and I couldn't say anything to them. You know, I'm a moderator of the group. I have to, you know, but I had two other people that were attacking them and I go, yay.
That's always the best. That is always nice when they come to.
They go, if you don't believe in this stuff, what are you doing in this group? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really true, though. But I think sometimes people just join the groups just to be a troll or be an agitator. Like, just to – they want to, like, disprove. It's like, why – you don't have to believe anything that any of us say. Like, I just don't understand why you have to be like, yeah, you're wrong. Okay, well, keep it pushing, man. Like,
they don't have a life. They need to go find something interesting to do. They need to go focus on something else. That's it. Yeah.
They're not interesting people. That's what it really boils down to. They don't have any qualities.
Stuff.
And then, you know, like, subscribe, and share the podcast, Kill the Mockingbirds, as much as possible.
Five-star reviews.
Five-star.
I'm jumping in on this to say it.
Mine as well.
Five-star. It's nothing. It's literally nothing to do, guys. And we got a lot of you guys listening. And hit us with the five-star. Give us a review. You can throw us a middle finger if you want to in the review. We don't care. Just give us 5 stars with it.
When you buy my books on Amazon, 5 stars too, okay?
Yes, exactly. Five stars all the way around. Because my boy's got 5 stars on his stripes in the other world. He's a soldier.
Don't forget to follow us at Operation Kill the Mockingbirds on Instagram and Van Tesla Music on Instagram as well, and follow the Kill the Mockingbirds Telegram. I think that's about it.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know how we do it. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
Bird killers.
I wake up in the morning on a vibe like I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to stay alive, yeah. This world is yours for the taking. This money's mine for the taking.
Get your money.
Every day I wake up with a smile. I'm just trying to feed my child. Streets is going wild, yeah. This world is yours for the taking.
This is yours.
Get this money's mine for the taking.
Spend my life, ducking up one time. What is fun, and I only smile sometimes. They canceled everything but the sunshine. It's a slow grind, renting bills come every time. But no, but karma, just reap what I'm sowing. The gatekeepers of the game just keeps me from growing. For the love of the dough, I'm just a passionate poet. Gather my roaches out the ashtray, break it down and roll it, man, I'm a fool. Trying to remain cool in a world so cruel. A pit bull on the loop, trying to see what I'm a chew. Still a welfare child, don't think I'll ever break loose. A vicious cycle, I had to learn to bend and break rules. Man, it's the
truth. I wake up in the morning on a vibe like I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to stay alive, yeah. This world is yours for the taking. This money's mine for the taking.
Get your money.
Every day I wake up with a smile. I'm just trying to feed my child. Streets is going wild, yeah. This world is yours for the taking.
This is yours.
Get this money's mine for the taking.
Look at all these rumors surrounding me every day. Canceling, blackball, they ain't breaking my bank. Family ties, spread fabricated lies. Artificial homies straight plotting my demise. Back to the grind, my pocket's deeper now. Took the scenic route. Keep my name out your mouth. Don't bring the demons out. Ducking and dodging, scheming and plotting. Uncle Sam lit my people with no other option. Straight obnoxious on Wall Street, singing 8 balls like stock tips. Up in the hood, playing politics. Double the vig on a brick, that's just common sense. Ain't about to be the state's next victim. Incarcerated, locked up, trapped in the system. Waiting for the kingdom to come. Speaking in tongues, if you reach for the gun, bells blast with the heat of the sun. I put the life on the line for mine, trying to survive.
Get your money. Yeah. Streets is going wild. This is yours.